Okay, the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll talk about mostly Samach Gimel Aleph through Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph says Amar of Lazar, a very cryptic enigmatic Gemara. Amar of Lazar, my dichsiv zosapam etzem etzemayu basim sarai. What does it mean? Sorry, what does it mean that Adam is all of a sudden exclaiming, "Oh, finally, I have shidduch. That's part of my etzem, part of my bones, part of my flesh." So apparently, the way Chazal say it, if you translate it straight, is that Adam Harishon tried out, he went through a shidduchim process with all of the animals. None of them really worked out so well. Chazal don't tell us each animal what the issue was. Mustama, each one was a different issue. It's not that all the animals didn't work. Each one had a different issue. It's helpful for a dating schmooze. But Why Connect's having a fundraiser, by the way, this week. This would be an interesting panel discussion on each of the animals. Why not the lion? Why not this? Why not that? But Chazal don't give us all the details. Okay, so that's where we're going to spend the next few minutes. Okay, velo neskara daito ache ba chava. Once he found chava, all of a sudden neskara daito, he felt complete. He felt satisfied. So the Gedolei Rishonim and Achronim argue about whether this is literal or not. The Chizkuni, the Marsha quotes, the Chizkuni ala Torah, dons on, it has to be this was after the animal is already pregnant, because we know if the animal has that Bia Rishona, then it's no longer going to be, it's either no longer be Mekabel Zachar, or it's no longer going, that's part of the issue, or it's no longer Minis Avra, so it must be it was already pregnant, otherwise this wouldn't have worked in the first place. Okay, so the Chizkuni is obviously assuming there was a real Bia here, there was a real relationship between Adam and all the Baalei Chaim. I believe that Paul Gelb and, you were there, Paul Gelb and was an Alex student, had a debate about this in Yik. They picked a few Midrashim that Rashi and the Rambam disagreed about how to interpret them, and one of them was this one. I happen not to remember the two sides, but Rashi and the Rambam either disagree or say differently how to interpret this Gemara, and they argued the different sides about whether it's literal or not literal. So it's already been talked about, but we'll try to be most of something here. Says the Maharsha, Uval HaNitzachon Kasav. Who's the Baal HaNitzachon? I don't know, the footnote says some Rav Milhuizen or something. Sounds like he's from Amsterdam. So he assumed, no way, you can't really imagine that he was actually with all the Baalei Chaim. Rather, it's an imagery that's supposed to relate to us. He was looking, any singles around here? He was just trying to check out the single scene. He didn't find that anyone was without a match. It was totally, everyone was... He should have gone to the upper west side, but he is looking around. He couldn't find anyone without a match, and he decided, okay, I don't have anyone for me. And then Ezer Knegdo was created, Etzem from his Tzamim, and Basar from his Basar. So that's Chava. So the Maharal has an Arichus about this Gemara in multiple places. Obviously, most prominently in Be'er HaGola, because Be'er HaGola, the whole point is to try to teach us how to learn Agadata and also combat the inappropriate, inaccurate learning of Agadata. So he quotes, the Chachmei Umos HaOlam, who learned these Gemaras and made fun, they ridiculed and they had crazy things to say about it. So in the Be'er HaGola, the truth is, we'll see other places also, but in the Be'er HaGola, he expresses the question very clearly. In Be'er HaGola, Be'er Hei, in the sixth parak, he quotes this Gemara in Yibamas. And he says, "Ve'ena perish chalila sheba aleim lemishkav." You can't fathom that there's actually a physical relationship between Adam and the Baalei Chaim. Not because it's weird. That's sort of our kasha. This is so weird. That's not the kasha. The kasha the Maharal has is Shari Kadosh Baruch Hu kvar tzivo so ala rayos, because he already had a tzivoi in the six mitzvahs he was given. Ba'pasuk vayitzav, vayitzav Hashem lekim ala Adam, whatever. So vayitzav is a reference. The Gemara in Sanhedrin last year is a reference to arayos. So the debut behem is arayos. So he's already had that tzivoi. So there's no way that that's what he was involved in this point. Rak perusho. Rather, what the Gemara must mean is mipnesha Adam utzuras kol haminim. Okay, Adam is a tzura. Adam is not just chomer, not just flesh and bones. Adam is tzura. He's a concept. He's an idea. He's something metaphysical, and so much so that his metaphysicality, his metaphysical identity, is something which is kolel, which includes all of Baalei Chaim. So an animal, such and such animal, might have this feature, and such animal might have a different feature. But if you put all the features together, you'd come out with tzuras Adam. We have what every animal has in part. We have in completion. So we're the tzura of all of not only humanity, we're the tzura of all of all of Baalei Chaim in general. Tzuras kol aminim. V'hu nosin lahem shleimus. All of their features really draw from what we have. Now, that's obviously separates us. It makes us distinct in the sense that we're elevated and Adam le'elyon. But on the other hand, the flip side, the other side of that exact same coin, is that we can also have a tushdel. We can also have some relationship with every Baalei Chaim that exists, because every Baalei Chaim is somehow nichlal within B'nai Adam as well. So you can have a ben adam who has some sort of chibur, some sort of connection to every baal chayim, because every baal chayim is a mitzas, shebe mitzas of adam, and they only draw their individualized quote unquote shlemus from our features. So we can have some sort of connection point with every baal chayim. Vischabras hatsura la sherhu tsura lo nikra bia shel zachar em nakeva. The word bia, the way we use it, means relations, when two human beings or animals join together physically. But it really just means when two things join together. It really means that when there's chibur, when there's connection of zachar and akeva, of something which is mashpia with something which is mushpa. The bnei adam are the mashpia. They have the whole tsura of chiyus, and they're mashpia on the mushpa, the nekeva of baalei chayim. So adam is able to be mitzdarif and mischaber with all of baalei chayim through that relationship of mashpia and mushpa. The Omar, ki afal gavshu tsura l'chol anevraim, v'hu nikra ish shelahem, where in that way, man is the husband of all of creation, avol bezet ein lo hanacha v'hashkit. That doesn't quell his taivas, it doesn't make him feel comfortable, it doesn't give him satisfaction, it doesn't give him yishuv hadas, ki ein adam tsura gemura rak l'ishto. Because there is one particular type of baal chayim, which a person is most uniquely fit for, ki elehu tsura miyuchedes, he's specifically designed for the baal chayim of isha, for the baal chayim of his wife, and not of all of the other baal chayim that exist in the world. So until the point that Chava was created, so he was mischaber with all the baalei chayim. Not that there was bia, but that his hashpa was felt, and therefore he interacted in that on that level of intellect. He interacted with all of the baalei chayim. Once the isha came along, there was no need for that relationship anymore. There was no connection between man and animal anymore because he connected to isha, which is more ra'i, more fit for him. So Abakasher Nasan Lo Shiyat Tzura El Zugaso, once he had his pair, his match, Shehu La Tzura Miyuchadet Befrat, she specifically catered for him. Az Amar Zosa Pam Etzem Atzamai. Oh, now it's part of me. Everyone else was like a mixas me. No, now this is really me. Vaz Husra HaBia HaRishona. And then that Bia, quote unquote Bia, meaning that Chibur, just dissolved. It didn't exist anymore between him and animals, because now he had his match, the Baal Chaim that really fit him, the Mushba that was really he was supposed to be Mashbia on. With that yisod, elsewhere, the Maharal in Chidush HaGados in Sanhedrin Kuf Ches, the Gemara there has that very strange, you know, Dr. Doolittle type story of Noach interacting with the raven, the Orev, about he was trying to send him out into the wild after they docked the Teva, and the raven says he doesn't want to go out. So the raven makes two tainas. One is it's bad weather out there. I'm gonna get killed. The second taina is, You're probably just sending me away because you want to be with my wife. That's what the bird says to Noach. So, strangely, Noach even responds. And he says, no, what are you, crazy? I can't even be with my own wife, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured all relations on us. You think I'm going to be with your wife? And that's like the end of their discussion. So the Maharal, you know, Kedarko, no Agadata should be taken at face value, and there's always deep Chachma in it. So he interprets that Gemara very, very deeply. But he relies on this Yesod, basically, where he says that a person always does have this level of connection, chibur, to every type of baal chayim, because the tzura of bnei adam includes all of the baalei chayim. And if you're in the metzias, in the teva, which was the entire world at that time, with all of the baalei chayim, so man is with wife, and the female raven is with male raven, so all the minim, they have each other to connect to. But if that male raven should leave, so then the female raven is alone. She doesn't have any spouse to connect to. So not Chas v'shalom that he thought Noach, or anyone thought that Noach was going to be with the raven. That doesn't make any sense with Mrs. Raven. That makes no sense whatsoever. No, it means that if the male is gone, then Mimela, she's going to be connected to the other male on the ship, to the only other person that she connects. She can't connect to a male lion or a male giraffe, because that's not the same tzura, but the man, Noach, can connect to every species, and therefore he was concerned that that connection is going to be lost from him and given over to Noach. And Noach's response, we're not going to get into it now, but Noach's response has to do with the fact that there's no time for connections right now, not only in terms of Puruvu physically, but also Chibur in general, because when the world's being taken apart through a Mabul, it's not time to connect and create and have Chibur, and that's his response, that I can't even connect to my family, I'm not going to connect to your family. But again, that Yesod is the same Yesod, that there's no Shiloh that Noach was going to be with a raven. But the point was that there'd be a connection, mimela, because if Adam is left without Isha, or if an animal is left without their zug, there's automatically a connection between the two different tsuros, the two different baalei chayim. With all of that in mind, so come back to the Chidush HaGadol and Maharal in our sugya. So there's no Maharal on Samach Gimel, but it's all on Samach Beis. So if you look at the Maharal on Samach Beis and Beis, he talks about our Gemara, and just to read you a few lines, V'chasher tavin od v'tamek b'zeh, Ki ha'adam kasher lo nimtza lo zugaso, va'adam hu kamo tzura. When a person doesn't have their match, they don't have the person, the other tzura, to connect to, the isha, tzarech hu ledaver shu'ei lav kamo chomer. They need to find something else to be chomer. Now, again, an isha is tzura, she's a balas seichel, she's a medaberes, she's a ben adam, but Maral consistently talks about this, that an isha is more chomri than a man. There's a mashbi and a mushba. She's a more chomri than a man. So the man is always constantly looking for that kli of chomer to hold him. He's a seichel, and he's to join with a kli in order to function in this world as a seichel that has something which is a holder, which is a container. So if he has an isha, great. She's the chomri shel seichel. She's the chomri shel tzur. She's the highest level of chomer that exists in this world. So she can link up with him and be his kli in this world. But if he doesn't have an isha, kol zman that he doesn't have an isha, so then he's going to turn to something else to be the chomer that holds him. Az yesh letzura zos hischaber sal advarim shem yoser chomrim, v'im kol ba'alei chayim shenem medabrim. Then he's going to have to connect. He's going to have to link up with the ba'alei chayim, and that's going to become his chomer that's nosei him, that holds him. Ki atzura I efshar b'mibel adei achomer. You can't have water, you know, just without a kli. You need to put it in something. So the tzura, the seichel of a ben adam, needs a kli to be contained in. If he gets married, great. And if not, he's going to spread wide and far and wide to connect to any ba'al chayim that exists that can give him that chomrius. But it's going to be more and more physical, more and more material, farther and farther away from his seichel. So that's the yesod the Maharal has over here. But the musar, that's not, you know, I don't know if you call it pnimius, but the musar and chitonius, the musar that you take from this, is that you see from here that a person needs connections. A person is a seichel, they're an intellect, they're ruchni, but they need chomer to connect to. The highest level of connection is that they should have a wife, someone who they can talk to and learning. Someone who has a seichel, that they're more chomer than them, and can contain them and hold them and complete them, but someone who's a medaber, someone who they could be involved in lofty levels of conversation and also intellect, meeting each other, that's what ishus is, that's what nisuin is. A person's constantly chasing that he should have something that's mashlim him. So says Maral, if he has an isha who's a muskel, great, that's wonderful, she's a daber sichli, she's a medaberes, that's a great shidduch. But if he doesn't have an isha, he's going to go other venues. He's going to go to other places. He's going to search for that connection and that sipuk and that hashlama from other things. And memila, they're going to be much more chomri. They're going to be much more low level, much more physical. And that's obviously the priority is to find an isha because it completes him in the proper way. Which calls to mind a very important ha'ara. I never thought I would do this, but a very important ha'ara of Rav Gershon Ribner that he pointed out to us at lunch a few months ago that the reason that a person wouldn't need or want a pet is because when a person has an animal that's in their home and becomes man's best friend, the only level they can connect on is like petting each other and licking each other. There's no muskalis. There's no seichel. There's no connection over anything deeper than that. So if a person has a fulfilling family and experience in a base medrash and shiurim that they go to and things they can connect to on a level of seichel, even though they need some chomris, they need it to be a wife, they need it to be a friend, they need it to be a, I think he said, chach, go golfing with someone and then talk in yanim ruchniyim, or not ruchniyim, but logical and intellectual things with them. So then you have that sipuk filling you up. It's a mashlim you, so you're fine and you're complete. But if you don't have that, then you need to turn to Baalei Chaim. You need to connect to Baalei Chaim. It's not, like the Maharal said, it's not bia in the explicit sense. You connect to them because you're only connecting with something that fulfills you and you don't have anything else. So then your connections become lower level. They're about petting and licking and enjoying this world. So the connection to an isha is something which takes you from chomrius to sichlius in that way. And that's the ha'ar the Maharal is saying to us in Pnimius and also the Musar Haskel that you take from it as well. With that in mind, maybe I think this is a very deep ha'ara. So the previous Amad, the Gemara told us that Amr b'tam chomer chamilai, we're not talking about this as much, but kol adam she'en lo isha shari b'lo simcha. Then the b'ma'arava amri, yesh gorsim imri, they would say, b'lo Torah, b'lo choma, b'lo Torah, b'lo choma. Meaning kol ashari b'lo isha is shari b'lo Torah, they don't have Torah, and b'lo choma, they don't have a wall. The wall is a protective measure that keeps them from being with Yisuri Arayos. The Marasha fills in for us that she's Mishamarta min achet, min yitzahara. She keeps him from violating Aviros because he's married, so he doesn't have to fall back on any Yisurim, chas v'shalom. So an isha gives him Torah, and she gives him choma, a protective wall, to keep him away from Yisurim. So chom, I understand. He has an outlet. He has a wife that he doesn't need to have a Yetzirah or express that Yetzirah elsewhere. But how does a shari below isha, shari below Torah, and when a person has an isha, he has Torah, how does it come out that a person who is married is able to learn better, more, higher quality? In the Ramesh Tversky biography, there's a footnote where they say that Ramesh Tversky told one of the chassanim that you'll see everyone complains that when they get married, there's less time for learning, but if you do it right, if the marriage is correct, then you'll learn more once you're married. You'll have more time for learning. So what shaykhs mean? What does marriage have to do with learning? How does one lead to the other? So maybe to understand it, well, based on a yesod that comes out of the Rambam. In Yisuri Bia, the end of Yisuri Bia, the Rambam tells us that a person shouldn't be involved in divrei schok and things like that. And then he says, v'lo yeshev v'lo isha, and a person also shouldn't live without a wife, meaning a person should get married. Why? Because that's a good etza. And off of the heels of that, he says, gedola mikol zos, I'm just skipping words, that's why. Gedola mikol zos, amru, yifne atzmo umachashavto ledivrei Torah. V'yarchiv daito b'chachma, a person should be totally thinking all the time and obsessing over divrei Torah and machshava and chachma. Yarchiv daito b'chachma. She'in machshavas arayos miskaberes ela b'leiv panei min hachachma. Because the yetzer, the machshavas arayos, meaning the thought of arayos, not the iser, the thought of arayos, the yetzer for arayos, only comes to a person who is devoid of chachma, who doesn't spend his time thinking about Dvarim Ruchaniyim, about Dvarim Chachamim, about Divrei Torah. Such a person has a Yetzer for Arayos. But if a person thinks about learning, they don't have a Yetzer for Arayos. So we see this Rambam, we think it's like a psychological idea. That if a person, again, you hear this, and this is correct on one level, if a person's so busy all the time with learning, they don't have time to do an Avera. You know, if you, in Pagab and Menovel Zeh, Mashchei LeBeis Medrash, if you're feeling Yetzer, run to the base measures, because in the base measures, not as many Aviras you could do. It's a technicality, it's a psychological ploy, that if a person involves themselves in learning, they won't do as much Averos. But Rav Moshe Shapira has this Yisod in Re'e Emunah, that it's not a psychological trick, it's not a psychological toy, rather, Ela Zeh Geder B'Torah Gufa. This is actually the definition of Torah. She'yesh Ba Gam Inyan Hamashlam Et HaYetzer La'Rayos. Torah actually gives a person the sipuk that he's looking for when he's desiring arayos. Meaning, Torah is not only mechayev us in things, but it's also enjoyable. It's also gishmak. And it also fills in that empty space. When a person is lusting for something that's inappropriate, Torah isn't something that's a distraction. Torah actually fills that void. You hear the difference? Torah doesn't distract him from the Yetzer Hara, but rather it's mashlim that Yetzer Hara. That taiva is now filled with sipuk if he learns Torah. HaTorah ba bimakom. You can get the same hana from Torah that a person could have otherwise tried to get physically from arayos. So lichora, that yesod that Ramesh Shapira said is he didn't say this, but it's gebayt, and it fits directly into what we've developed until now. That a person is sichli. That is your deepest desire, is to be sichli and to connect to sichlius. That defines a person. And you have a taiva to be mischaber with, to connect to join with things which are tsura, haru'uyalo, things which are seichel, things which are also on that level. And you have two choices. Either you can find something that's a good match, an isha, someone who fills that void in a way with sichlius as well. Or, if you don't have that, you're going to turn to things that are more chomri. You're going to turn to things that are more physical, but give you that gishmak, give you that, fill that void in your life. So if a person feels a taiva in life, a yetzer d'arayos, as strong as arayos, it means he's chaser, he's missing something, he wants to fill it in. So he could either turn to sichlius, or he could turn to chomrius, and he's going to fill that void. So when on the side of sichlius, obviously learning Torah, as we just said, is one of those things. Torah fills that void. But equally or similarly or related, finding an isha, finding a woman who has chomer and surah to her, fills the void and allows a person to be engaged only in sichlius. It allows a person not to fall off of that high level of being an adam sichli and compromise and become someone who's mischaber with Baalei Chayim, but rather to be mischaber with someone else who also, she's a chomer, but she has a surah to her, she has a seichel to her. To have dibur, to have the level of being medaber sichlius within isha, that allows a person to stay at the level of sichlius and not chas v'shalom fall down to the level of chomrius. So kol ha'shari below isha is shari below choma. because with an isha, of course, there's a protection from arayos. And once you have the chom, and once you have a chomer, or without the chomer, you wouldn't have Torah. Torah is the other side of that exact same issue. That if a person doesn't have, if a person doesn't have an isha to allow him to stay on that perch of sichlius, then Rahman al-Sam, they're left out Torah. But the second a person is married to an isha ru'uyilo, someone who fills in that tzura, someone who gives him the chomer outlet to have a dabar sichli that he's mischaber to, now he can engage in Torah on a higher level, on a more consistent level, because he's living on the level of sichlius as opposed to Rahman al-Sam going down to the level of chomeris. Maybe that's also the pshat Rashi tells us on Samach Gimel and Beis, when says that Dayenu, that even though my wife is such a difficult person, but Dayenu, that she's Megadlos Benenu, and also that she's Matzilos Osanu Menachet, right? That she saves us from Chet. So saves us from Chet means saves us from Arayos. But Rashi fills in Mihir Avera, that she saves us from Hira Avera. So what's like higher level? Hira is more Chamer from Averas. Maybe the Pshat's what we're saying. A person who's properly engaged in Nisuin and properly engaged in Sichlius and therefore properly engaged in Talmud Torah, it's not only that they're now not going to do Averas. Avad, they're not going to do Averas because they have a Choma. They won't even have a Yetzer for Averas. They won't even have a Yetzer for Arayos if they're doing it properly. The Hira won't even be there. When he's Mushlam, when he feels complete, he's not going to be searching for the Averos. He's not going to be searching for the Arayos. And even the Yitzhar that Arayos is filled in by the Isha and by Torah. So therefore, even Hira Averos, as Rashi, is something which is irrelevant to such a person. So maybe based on the Maharals that we explained in terms of this Agadah about Adam, it helps to understand the previous and the following Amud about Nesias Isha and Choma Torah and Hira Averos, as we said.
Where is the Ber
Agola? I think it's Aber Hey, and it's Aber Hamishi, and it's Perek Vav. That's what I wrote down, if I got it wrong. Okay. The Gemara in Samach Gimel and Aleph, towards the bottom, Rav Hava Kemetzara Le Debisu. So Rav had this wife who was not so nice to him. Ki Amar La Avid Le Tlufchi Avdala Le Chimtzi. I don't know. He wanted whatever. Lentils, and she made him beans. He wanted beans, she made lentils. I don't remember what the things are. Chimtzi Avdala Le Tlufchi. She would always make the opposite. It was always opposite day by her. Ki Gadol Chia Brei. When his son Chia got older, Apichla. So he switched it around. So his father would ask for beans, and he'd tell the wife, that the mother, that his father wants lentils, and she'd make the opposite, so then he got what he wanted. A brilliant idea. Amalei, I alya lach imach. She got better. Amalei, ana hadaka apichnala. I'm the one who switched it around. Okay, this is an interesting part of the Gemara, because if you're trying to make shalom, why are you telling him that they're doing this? Okay, amalei, hanadaka amar inchi. So Rav says back to his son, the nafach minach taima malacha, that the person who comes out of you is going to be machkim you, meaning you're going to learn from your children. You had this great kunz. I never thought of this kunz. Such a good idea, but still, at lo tavet hachi, don't do it. Shnemar limdu l'shom dabesheker ha'eve. So, the gomer, ha'eve nilu, I think, the end of the pasuk. So, l'chora, a couple of kashas in this gemara. First of all, if you want to tell me that there's an isser, Rav wants to give his son Musar, that he shouldn't lie. So, l'chora, the isser for sheker, he should look no further than the pasuk in the Torah, which says, midbar sheker terchak. First of all, it's clearer. But second of all, it's a pasuk in the Torah, as opposed to a pasuk in the Divrei Kabbalah, a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Yadua, there's machlokas rishonim and achronim, whether sheker only applies in Beis Din. And even if it applies outside of Beis Din, it only applies when you're goyim hefsid, or applies even when you're not goyim hefsid. But first of all, we assume sheker is aser, and midrash sheker terchak, whether it's aser midrabanan, whether it's aser daraisa, it would have been a better pasuk to quote as a proof text that you're not allowed to lie. And second of all, for the manda amr who says that sheker applies outside of basin and applies even when there's no hefsid, that's nigram, so you still need to answer this gemara. What is going on in this gemara that they didn't quote from midrash sheker terchak? That's first of all. But second of all, another kasha here. We're going to learn in two blot from here, or one blot from where we're up to, that the Gemara here and Gemara elsewhere says that Mishanim Pnei Hashalom, that when a person has, you're not allowed to lie, but when a person has the Midah of Emes coming up against the Midah of Shalom, so the Midah of Shalom wins out. And we're Docha Emes Mipnei Hashalom, so we're Mishana as an Esa Emes in order to save Shalom. So here there was an issue of Shalom Bayis. She was making him the wrong supper every night. And he was trying to help Shalom Bayis, so he lied. He said, make him the opposite. He doesn't want this, he wants that. And she made him the right one. So, lichora mishan bnei shalom. What did he do wrong? Why is Rav giving him mussar? Don't lie. So this the Rishonim asked. The Meiri on Samachem Abeis asks that question. And he answers, no, Rav held by himself. He knew that he was such a tzaddik that it didn't bother him. His wife was making the wrong stuff, but it didn't bother him. He was able to be mezgaver on that, and because he knew he could be over al midosav, so there is no inyan of shalom bias here. So he was saying to his son Chia, "At lo tavet hachi, it's not. You're right. objectively, this is the right way to act, but it doesn't matter to me. It's not. There's no shalom here, so there's really no heter to lie because of that. Okay, something the Achronim point out. It's interesting because the Gemara Samechei says that the Ribbono Shel Olam lied to save shalom between Avram and Sarah. So Avram wasn't misgaber on his midos, his kpedos on Sarah, but Rav was. Maybe one had this superpower, one had that superpower. Everyone has different midos, but Avram was the Amar HaChesed, and he couldn't tolerate another person. Hard to believe. Whatever. I mean, that's the Meir's answer either way. But in order to give an answer, maybe that's kol of both of these questions. So we need to make one other ha'ara on the sugya, which is really that it's not. There's no lies going on in the sugya. No, anyone notice this? There's no lying in the sugya. Look at Rashi. Rashi is apichla. So he was said, "I want beans. Tell mom to make beans." So the kid said he wants lentils. So okay, he lied because he's saying the father wants lentils. But Rashi says not what happened. Apichla haya omer av libno. He would say to his son, "Amor leimcha lasus adashim. Tell her to make me lentils." Okay, that's not a lie, right? Tell her to make me lentils. Just a command. Okay. But who omer la? The son would say to the mother, "Asi chimzi. Make the other thing." What is chimzi? Does anyone remember? It's not beans, is it? Fenugreek. Make fenugreek. So make quinoa, right? Make quinoa for dad. Dehi osa adashim. She would do the opposite because she always wanted to do the opposite. So who lied? The father commanded to make lentils. The son commanded to make quinoa. Now I'm going to confuse myself. To make quinoa. So there's no lying. He just says a different command. Correct? He didn't say dad wants. If he would have said dad wants quinoa, I hear it's a lie. Dad didn't say he wants quinoa. He said he wants lentils. We didn't lie. There's no lying over here. So what's going on? Why is this a case of sheker? Why is that even what the Gemara is being omen on? Why is Rav saying limdu lishonim daber sheker? There's no sheker that's taking place here. Here, those are the three kashas basically. Elamai on this last one. So Elamai and Hanami, meaning this Gemara is not about sheker, not about sheker gummer the way we think of it. We translate sheker as a lie. This Gemara is not about lying. No one's lying here. Rav is mitzaveh to make X, and his son is mitzaveh to make Y. It's not a lie. But it's not yasher. It's not derech ha'amiti. It's not sheker mamish, it's not a lie, but he's not talking straight. He's saying things that are deceptive. Sheker, we don't have here, but it's a ramos. It's a lack of yashrus. It's English words that I would apply to our trickery, or deception, or delusion, or he's posturing. Rav's son is posturing. He's acting one way, but he means something else. He's not lying, but he's giving off a false impression through what he's doing. It's a fraudulent statement, even though he didn't actually express any lie, any sheker gummer. That, for sure, there is here. That's not sheker, but it's for sure something which is deceptive, which is delusion, and therefore it's a problem that Rav is pointing out. L'chora, that's also the pshat in the psukim that Rav quotes from Yirmiyah. If you look inside in the psukim, I guess we can't all share Rabbi Peres Tanakh, but you'll have to look one by one afterwards. Ish meirei eyu, this is the pasuk preceding and the pasuk afterwards and the pasuk that we're quoting. Ish meirei eyu hishameru, everyone needs to like beware, protect themselves from their fellow man. V'al kol ach lo tivtachu, don't trust anyone. Ki kol ach akov ya'akov. Every one of your friends acts perversely, and every one of your friends is a rachil, what's it called, a slanderous. The ish bireu yihaselu, every person is making fun of the other. The emes lo yidaberu, no one's talking truthfully. Limdu lishonam daber sheker, they've taught them their tongues to speak only fallacies, to speak falsehood. And here's the key: haavei nilu. They're all striving, they're all living and going and gunning to be trickers, to trick people, to be deceptive, to be deluding other people, to act in that way that we described before. Shiftecha besoch mirma, you are dwelling amongst people who are deceitful. Bimirma me'anu das osinu umashem. They're all deceitful, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what you see in these psukim is that sheker is one of the words for sure out of all of them, but it's not describing don't lie or don't teach yourselves to lie. The Navi here is describing a society in which people are all not what they seem, in which people are all deceptive, in which people are all trickers and conniving, and they're all acting in a fraudulent way to get what they want from other people. It's a door of Ramos. It's a door of Rechilos, of Hitul, of Sheker, of Mirma, but it's a door of Ramos. And that's what the pasuk captures when it says, Ha'avei nil'u. They're striving for, the thing they're gunning for, the life that they're living is one of ivus, of twisting, of being, of just playing tricks on everyone and not living in a way or acting in a way that's consistent with emes. That's Ha'avei nil'u. It's a mahalach ha'chayim of ivus. It's a mahalach ha'chayim of rama'us. That's what the Navi Yirmiyah is expressing over here. You have it, if you look in the Radak and the Mitzvah, you'll see how they corroborate what we just said. So maybe that's what Rav was trying to convey to his son when he quoted not Midvar Sheker Tirchak, but he quoted this pasuk of Yirmiyah, because Enachanami Chia, you're not lying. It's not a lie. You didn't tell a lie. It's not Sheker Gomer. But Ha'aven Il'u, this is a lifestyle of deceit. You're acting in one way. When you mean something else, you didn't express a lie with your mouth, but it's still a Limdu Lashonam Daber Sheker Ha'aven Il'u. You're still living a life of trickery. And Diakal, if you look in the Gemara, you wonder this, I think. If you look in the Gemara, Rav says, don't do this, it's not good to do. Why? Because the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Limdu Lashonam Daber Sheker, correct? That's what Rav says. Except the Gemara has one more word there. Ha'avei. Ha'avei Nilu, right? The end of the Pasuk. So Rav didn't stop at Limdu Lashonam Daber Sheker. He didn't think that that encapsulated everything he was trying to say, or at least the next word frames everything he's trying to say. Limdu lashonam daber sheker ha'aveh. Meaning you're living a lifestyle of ivus. You're living a lifestyle of trickery, of fraudulence, of deception. It's not dafka the sheker we're focused on over here. It's the fact that ha'aveh nil'u. It's the fact that you're creating a mahal chachayim of being deceitful, and that we can't tolerate, even though you were correct in terms of helping the shalom bias. If that's true, if everything said until now is true, so then it's not even a kasha that the word sheker appears. The word sheker, either you could say the word sheker is lav dafka, which is possible. It's just one of the examples, and therefore the focus on havei. But also the word sheker might mean exactly what we're saying in this context. The pasuk in Mishlei Eish Hischayel says sheker achin vehevel ayofi. So sheker achin vehevel ayofi. So what does sheker mean in that context? So lechora, it's not a proper translation that yofi and chin are lies. It's not true. A woman might be beautiful. That may be truth. A woman might be full of grace. That might be very truthful. But still we say, sheker hachein. It's a lie. What do you mean it's a lie? It's not a fallacy. It's true. She is. Elamai, it doesn't matter. Or it's futility. Or it's in vain. We don't care about it. It's worthless. Okay, that's all true. But it's not a lie. So the Metzudas there says, sheker, the hevel, are almost like synonyms in this sense. Inyanam davarsh ein bo mamish. Sheker means not a lie. It means something that's not real. It means something that doesn't correspond to reality. The word sheker means emptiness or worthlessness, things that aren't important or don't represent the ultimate truth. Yes, the isha is full of chen, or she's full of yofi. That is true on a physical level, but it's sheker klape the ultimate emes, not because it's a lie, but because it doesn't represent the ultimate truth. It's a fallacy in the sense that it's a failure to achieve or to arrive at the ultimate truth. It's not the ultimate reality. It's not what really exists. It's not a lie the way we use the word lie colloquially, but it's not the ultimate truth. It's a deception and it's a distraction from the Amitas HaGemura. You look, I'm not going to go through all them, of course, now, but Rav Hirsch in Bereshis Chaf Aleph Chaf Gimel 21:23 has that idea about sheker, that sheker doesn't mean lie. It means things which aren't existent in reality. And the truth is, it's around in Nedarim and on Chaf Dalid, where the Gemara refers to a person who says, I'm nishba that I saw as many people here as ka'ole Mitzrayim. And the Gemara calls that a shvua l'sheker. So the Ran says, not really shvua l'sheker. What do you mean shvua l'sheker? It doesn't even lie. It's just an exaggeration. It's just it doesn't correspond to reality. So the Ran says, that's what sheker means. Sheker means she'ein l'lashon zeh shum mashmos. That's what it means. So the Mitzvah is telling us that's what it means in Eish Hischayel. And that's probably what it means across the board. Now, in terms of the Hebrew language, the way the Hebrew language works is that words are representative of yesodos. So a word in the Hebrew language, a shoresh, gets to the shoresh. It gets to the root of that word. And then you can have an expansive definition based on that. So when it comes to sheker, look over the core meaning is things which are not corresponding to reality. Sheker means things which are not corresponding to the ultimate reality. They don't exist in the ultimate reality. Now, there's different ways that you can then apply that word. You can talk about sheker hachein. It's true technically that she's beautiful. It's just unimportant. It's worthless. It doesn't correspond to the ultimate truth of what we're striving for in this world. And you could also use it to mean a lie, which is saying something which doesn't correspond to reality, which is expressing something that's not true. It's a sheker, in that sense, a sheker gomer. But the fact that something's misleading or distracting or deceptive is also the core definition of sheker. It's not that the word sheker is lav davka, limdu l'shonam da'be sheker. No, a maisa mirma is a sheker in that sense. A maisa mirma is a sheker in the sense that it doesn't correspond to reality. You're acting in a way that's deceptive. That's also, mirma is also deception. Mirma is also sheker, the same way that sheker hachin. So with all of that in mind, again, Ha'ave Nil'u, and the definition of the word sheker, so it's very mistaber that Rav quoted this pasuk, because we're not dealing with a midrash sheker tirchak. We're not dealing with a case in the Torah that's about lying, whether it's in basin or out of basin, it's talking about lying. We're not talking about a case of lying. We're talking about a case of Ha'ave Nil'u, that a person is living a mahal chachayim of deception, of posturing. Says Rav, you can't live like that, because limdu l'shonam daber sheker, you can't train yourself to talk in such a way that you're misrepresenting realities. Ha'ave Nil'u, it's a lifestyle of evus, it's a lifestyle of trickery. That's not what you're supposed to be doing, even though technically speaking, it's not midrash sheker tirchak. Technically speaking, it's not a lie, but the lifestyle is one which is not condoned, which is specifically called out by Yirmiyah in this pasuk. Okay, but even with all of that in mind, which I think is, I mean, you'll tell me later if you don't think it's a good mahalach, but I think that's a good shot in the psukim and a good shot in Rav. So then, l'chora, the heter of Mishalem Pnei HaSholem still apply. Meaning, why doesn't Mishalem Pnei HaSholem still apply? So, I mean, the answer is probably Hein Hein HaDvar, right? Mishalem Pnei HaSholem means that when you have MS versus Shalom, so, shalom is docha emes. The midah of shalom beats out the midah of emes, and you lie in order to save the shalom. But nowhere did Chazal tell us, and they shouldn't tell us, that shalom is mevatel emes, meaning that a person should lie one off, one time, that they should act in a deceitful way one time to save shalom. It makes sense. That midah wins out over emes. But for a person to live a life of ha'aven nil'u, for a person to be limdu l'shonam daber sheker, that it's a regilus, that they train themselves, that it be consistent, that you can't tolerate. The Torah is not saying that you should never keep MS again because of this shalom. Shalom, for a one-time opportunity to save someone from having a fight, you'll lie a little bit, you'll twist the truth. But to live a lifestyle of fallacy, to live a lifestyle of sheker, limdu l'shonam daber sheker, have a nil'u, that you wouldn't be mevatel MS lagamre in order to keep the shalom. So says Rav to his son, it's a great chap. It was really good for a Tuesday night supper. It was a really, really good idea. And you were machkim me. I learned from you in that way. But don't live like that. This eitzah that you have to switch it around, you're going to have to do that every night for the rest of, I mean, obviously Thursday night's pizza night, but every other night, you're going to have to do this every night for the rest of your life. That's not, it might be mutter tonight, and it might be correct tonight, and it might be, even though it's an ivus, and even though it's a sheker, but it was worthwhile to save the shalom, but you can't limdu l'shonam daver sheker. It can't be betidirus and regilus. It can't be that this is going to be the constant, consistent hanhaga that you're going to have for the rest of your life. That's a case of ha'aven elu. That's a case of limdu l'shonam daver sheker, where a person becomes rugel b'kach, when it becomes part of their DNA that they're lying. That we can't tolerate, says Rav. You can't do one off, yes. Mishanim Bnei HaShalom, but constantly, consistently, forever, that we can't do. That last Yesod is true in the Rishon. Rabbi Yonah says this in Pirkei Avos, that even though it's a very different reason, it's because he takes the side that Sheker may only doesn't apply technically in this case. The Maharsha also has this in his own way, but both of them pick up on what's similar to what we're saying, that the reason that Rav quotes this pasuk in particular is because Limdu L'shonam Daber Sheker, that it's the lifestyle of Sheker that he's saying you can't live with. Not that a one-off instance would have been mutter, it would have been fine. It would have been fine in a one-off case to lie or to twist the truth or to posture, as we said before, but to actually constantly, consistently live life like that, Limdu L'shonam Daber Sheker, that Rav wouldn't tolerate. Ba'akra, yeah, but to me this low. So maybe that answers all of our kashas in the Gemara. Rav quoted this pasuk in particular because it's uniquely suited for this case. It's not real sheker the way we talk about it. It's sheker at its root. It's living a life of deception. It's limdu l'shonam daver sheker. It's with tedirus. And that's also why the pasuk, the heter, of Mishan Bnei HaShalom doesn't apply, because Mishan Bnei HaShalom only applies to a one-off case. Doesn't apply to something that's being done bit tedirus. Yeah. Just an important ha'ara on that same ma'isa. So, on the whole story, Yesh L'Hak shows a little bit, like, Rav was a pretty smart guy, and he didn't think of this his whole marriage. And it had to have taken a long time, because Chia was gadol first, he grew up first, and then he came up with this Eitzah. No, we switched it around, and Rav says, an Einful, I never thought of that on my own, and you really taught me, and I learned more from my son. don't know, Rav could have figured this out on his own, that if he just says the opposite, his wife will make him the opposite. So Ruchaim Kanievsky has in Orchos Yosher, the first chapter is about Emes. So at the very end of the chapter on Emes, he says the following line, V'kashe, he says in Ara Gemara, V'kashe, Ichlo ala b'das Rav, lasus kein asha sham b'no. How did Rav not figure this one out on his own? V'alu davar pashu, isn't it obvious that you just say the opposite and you'll get the opposite? I think we learned this in like in elementary school. On opposite day, you say the opposite things and then everyone gives you the other things. It's like very easy to figure out. Obviously, then the opposite, your opposite, fine, I hear. But I'm saying, but Rav could figure out the first step. So Reb Chaim says, V'tzarach lomar, the Rav haya mushrash kol kach b'midos ha'emes, shelo ala b'dayto klal she'efshar l'shanos me'emes. Such a gevaldig ha'ara, such a chash of ha'ara. Rav was so steeped in the midah of emes, the absolute midah of truthfulness, that, of course, he was smart enough to figure it out, but it never occurred to him to not tell the truth. It never occurred to him to say, "I want something else." If he wanted a different dish, bo re'ayat hechan hayu chazal devukim b'midas ha'edes. He was emes. He was so steeped in. He was so connected to the midah of emes that it never would have occurred to him. He never possibly even could have thought that a person should lie in order to get something good. It never made sense to him. Okay, his son figured it out. Son. Whatever, he read this Hadoros, he wasn't as mushrish in it, it wasn't as davuk to it, okay. But Rav himself, he never could have tolerated such an idea, so it never came to mind. He never thought for a second, I'll say the opposite, it just never occurred to him. Okay, the next Gemara, here on Samach Gimel Manalf, going on Tama Bey, is Rebbe Chiyo hava ka mitzara le debisu, ki hava mishkach midi, tzayir le besudre umaisin yahale. So, she wasn't so good to him, but he didn't respond in kind. Amalei Rav, how come it's our Leilamar? She's such a terrible wife. What are you giving her these treats? So Amalei, Dayenu Shemegadlos Benenu. Enough that they should just raise our kids. Umatzilos Osanu Menachet. And save us from sins. Two things that the wife accomplishes, and regardless, is she raises our children, and she saves me from Averos, or as Rashi says, from Hira Averos. So it's good enough for me. So, no, my Makomas here, just, the Pshat here is not the following. The pshat is not that, no, she's really rough on me, she's really mean, she's really demanding, she's really, I don't know, fill in the blanks, but she also raises the children, and she saves me from chait, and that outweighs, and therefore renders the other negatives irrelevant. L'chor, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that those bad things are bad, and he was suffering, and he had a difficult marriage, and he wasn't finding sipuk in the relationship. But the Tanayim Amorayim, they didn't feel a sense of entitlement. They didn't think magiali that they deserved everything. They knew what the ikarim were for them. Now we're not taking and applying to us in terms of the actual standard, but the ikar for Reb Chiya was to have progeny, to have children who continue in the Masoros HaTorah. That she helps with. And the other ikar is that he should be able to learn Torah and not do averus, shmir Torah mitzvos, that she helps with. That was what he felt like the calling in life was. That was what he felt like he deserved because he was working towards. And everything else was just icing on the cake. A good relationship and a nice personality and being on time to events. Okay, we'll stop giving examples. So all of those things were just extras. That wasn't his calling. That wasn't the standard that was set for his life. His life was raising a Jewish family and learning Torah and keeping mitzvos. That was his life. So this is Dayenu. Not that those things aren't bad. Those are my challenges. Those are going to be Yisur in my whole life. Those are things I'm going to have to tolerate and be sovel, and it's going to be difficult for me. But that's not my goal. And in terms of my goals, she fits the bill. In terms of my goals, the ikker things that matter in life, she's taking care of those things. Now, it's a gevaldig musser. It's like a gevaldig musser in the realm of marriage and elsewhere. Now, avada, if a person's wife is torturous, terrible, mean, destructive, I don't know, whatever, you know, fill in the blanks, but they're ruining him or his family, avada, there's something to talk about in terms of gerush, and that's obviously true. He's not saying that a person has to stick every situation out. But it's not like we think of it now, that if she doesn't bake as well as I thought she bakes, so then I get the get ready, a car of a Zilberman, I'm ready to go. Or, oh my gosh, you know, you get married and you find out she has mood swings. you know, then so that wasn't what I imagined. I imagined no mood swings. I imagined she's always the same. Or like I had this picture that she was going to be picture perfect and everything was going to be exactly the way I just drew it up and exactly the way that it came through on the picture that came to my phone when they set me up with her. So all of that was there and now it's not that. Now it's different. So now, ain't Adam darbe kfifa achas im nachash. Whoa, I can't live with... What are you talking about? Everything is there. Everything checks out. So not everything's perfect. So there's some issues. There's some hard times. That's a normal relationship. That's a normal relationship. But now it's like they're out. They're out the second that something doesn't check out. So what you learn from the Gemara is, again, the standard's not going to be the same. It's not necessarily limited to Gidol Banim and Atzalim and Achet. We need more. We have more sensitive personalities. We have more desires and more demands. Fine. But whatever those desires and demands are, it serves a person well to think, what are the goals in life? And if a person, you hear stories, Rachman al-Tzan, you hear stories about a husband or a wife who, they have a family, they're taking care of the family's happy, and they get divorced. And you never know full stories. But sometimes you hear stories about people who get divorced over things, and you wonder, like, you know, you're 55 years old, you're 45 years old, you have kids who are being raised with a family that's complete, and that's what you leave your husband over, that's what you leave your wife over? A small thing like this, a small thing like that? The sheitel wasn't the one that you wanted, so now you're divorced at 40 years old with a kid who's 10 to 20. Like, there's more at stake here than just the fact that a person's enjoying every second of every day of their life. Yes, a person can't be depressed and can't be hurting and can't be broken. But short of that, a person has to look and say, what's Dayenu? Now let's talk about Pesach a little bit. What's Dayenu? Like, what are the standards that I set for myself that are absolutely necessary? What are the goals? And then once those are filled, it's not that the other things disappear. He should work on himself and he should try to help his marriage and they should go to therapy. There are so many things that he should do, but Dayenu with what? What's the role, what's the goal of the marriage, of the relationship? And if you can find the loftier goals, so then it's Shmiras HaTorah, it's Gidol HaBanim, it's so many other things, but it's Lav Bechdi. It's not like just something simple that a person just steps out of and breaks up a family over because they have the right Hasago. So that's the Musar Haskel from these, the Tanayim and Amoraim, not just this story, all the stories that you read in the Gemara here. They lived with, again, some of them described what's an Isha Ra Imcha, your mother. All right, they're living with evil people that were very, very difficult. Okay, sometimes that means that it has to be terminated, and sometimes that means that that's not what I'm going to enjoy in this world. I'm going to enjoy other things, and I'm going to be matzliach and other things. But is the marriage working or not working is based on things that are at a higher level than just whether dinner was particularly tasty. The other ha'ara is that this we're talking about marriage, but it's extreme when we talk about marriage. But the Tomer Dvora in the Midah of Chafetz Chesed, he says the same thing applies to every relationship. He quotes our Gemara, and he says, the pshat is that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when it says Zikel Chafetz Chesed, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Chafetz Chesed, so he has a very interesting interpretation that Chafetz Chesed means he desires our Chesed. Hashem desires our Chesed, meaning he sees we're sinners, he sees we are not good about Shmiras Torah and Mitzvos, however, he sees we also do Chesed with other people. And he desires our Chesed with other people, even against all of the negative things we do. Dayenu, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that they do so much chesed, it's enough for me to save them and to not destroy them immediately. So the Tamar Dvar says, that's how we have to act. He says, that's how we have to act with other people. And you see it in Ishus. You see it in a marriage from the Gemara here in Ibamos. He says, you see that she was such a negative personality in his life, such a negative force, such a destructive character, and yet he maintained the relationship with her. Why? Because Dayenu, he knew that she does good things, she does other good things, she's a good person, she has some flaws, everyone has character flaws, but he was able to get over that because he was able to live with someone who he saw the positive of, and therefore he could live with the negative. So he says, that's the same thing is true for everyone. Kach yomar al kol adam, dai li betova plonis, she'asa li, o she'asa imploni, o midetova plonis, she'esh lo v'yeh chafetz chesed. He's not the perfect person. He's annoying. He's mean. He's whatever. He's not a perfect person. But he did some good things. It's enough for me. He did some good things. I could be nice to him. I could tolerate him. I could live near him. I could have a relationship with him. I could be friends with him. He's not perfect, but he did some good things. He has some good ma'asim, and I can live with that. Again, like we said before, not that one outweighs the other. He's not therefore a tzaddik gamur. He's probably not a tzaddik gamur. But you can tolerate him if you focus on the positive and ignore, therefore, the negative and just deal with the fact that that those things exist because you know there's a better person that's behind all of that. Yeah, on Amud Beis over here, the Gemara tells us this really unique story. The Gemara says, Mikri Le Rav Yehuda Le Rav Yitzchak Brei, Umotza Ani Mar Mimaves Ese Isha, Pasuk, Amalek Gon Man Gon Imcha. Okay. Interesting. Vaiter b'marava ki nasiv inish itza. They used to have, by the chasana, when a person would get married, so they used to have a minug that amri lehachi. All the people at the chasana would call out, I guess the ones who weren't at the bar, they would call out, Matzah or Motza? Which one? Was it Matzah or Motza? Dechsiv, the Gemara says, meaning what's Matzah or Motza? What are they referring to? Dechsiv, Matzah Icha Matzah Tov, meaning is this a relationship Matzah Icha Matzah Tov? Or Motza Dechsiv, Motza Ani Marim Lav, Esa Isha. Gemara in Brachos on Dav Ches also. So, L'chayra, it's a Tzarech in Gadol. Okay, the whole thing is a Tzarech in Gadol, a funny, very funny minag. But L'chayra, the whole thing is a Tzarech Gadol and Hilchos Lashon Hara. How is it possible that on their side, in terms of Vavak Lashon Hara, and on his side, in terms of Gram Lashon Hara, so how is it possible that the audience, the crowd at the Chasna, was saying to the Chasan, hey, it's a good find or a bad find? Meaning, what do you think about this wife that you're marrying? How could they possibly be asking that question? The Chafetz Chaim writes for us, the Chafetz Chaim writes for us that the Isser Lashon Hara is not only B'dibur. If a person waves their hand in a certain way, like this, you know, does a machzavek with someone, or if a person winks with his eyes in a certain way, that's also an Isser Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim quotes that's what Unklus and Rashi say ala Torah, that even, you know, kritzas enav, or a tenufas yad, all those things could be an Isser Lashon Hara. Why is that, by the way? Isser Lashon Hara means to be medaber. A person has to use his mouth through rechilas. So l'chora, the yisod is the same yisod that we always come back to in Lashon Hara, that the Isser of Lashon Hara is not an Isser Nezikin, and it's not an Isser Dibor. It's not like tefillah. You know, you don't have to say it out loud in order to be over on the Isser of Lashon Hara. The Isser of Lashon Hara is being megala dea ra'a. It's expressing evil attributes. It's expressing evil thoughts, evil traits. So you express those things usually by talking, but you don't need to come onto a halacha of ksiva kedibor to say that Lashon Hara applies even when you write down the Lashon Hara. And you don't need to come on to the fact that, you know, you express something verbally in order to have Lashon Hara at all. If you wink the wrong way, if you use your hands the wrong way, that expresses a Dei Ra. So everything falls into the category of Lashon Hara once you have that definition. But either way, this whole story is so hard to understand. So they're asking a Lashon Hara like a question at the Chasna. What's going on? Never mind the obvious question that it's a little too late. They're marching back to the Yichud room with Eitan Katz playing, and they're asking, by the way, good deal or bad deal? And he's like, get me out! Like, it's not really going to work out at this point to ask him. So what the whole story is Tom Beer. So the Chafetz Chaim deals with this. In the Be'er Mayim Chaim at the end of Klal Aleph, he asks this question, but then he says, I'll tiksha, don't ask the question. He says, because he gives two answers. Each one is shaykh to a different part of the Gemara, so maybe we'll just focus on one. His first answer is that we know the Rambam has this din of Ba'apei Tlasa. The way the Rambam understands it is that once Lashon Hara is well known, Ba'apei Tlasa, it's known by three plus people, so then someone who then recounts that same Lashon Hara to other people is not in violation of Isser Lashon Hara. It was already well known, it was already out there. You didn't bring anything new into the world, people already knew this. So we're standing by the Chasna, and the guy is under the chuppah, and they get married, and he's walking down the aisle to go to the Yichud room, and everyone asks, Matzah or Motza, good wife or bad wife? Everyone knows at this point whether she's a good wife or a bad wife. She's 20 years old, or if it's a case of Motza, maybe she's 27. It took her a while because she was such a bad lady. And they're asking, Motza, Motza. So even if he says, not so good, but you know, I was in Shidduchim for a while, so I landed on this. Even if he says that, it's not such a shter. It was Ba'apei Tlasa. Everyone knew her personality by this point. If she's in Shidduchim for so long, she's getting married. People knew already. So it wouldn't be such a Lashon Hara to say such a thing at that point. Interesting, Shalom Gemara. First of all, the Chafetz Chaim later in Klal Beis says that we're not somech on this Rambam, that we don't hold the Rambam's Apei Tlasa. Second of all, it's not in consonance, it doesn't work well with the whole gang of the Chasna, which is Kala Noa V'Chasuda, even if she's not so perfect, we praise her. So here we're bringing up her negative. If everyone knows, the Adrav, they should be quiet, right? They shouldn't say Matzah Amotza. And then I recently acquired the Sefer Ma'ana Lashon, which is Reb Hillelzak's grandson from the Chafetz Chaim of Ha'aros on Sefer Chafetz Chaim. So he says the whole questions, the whole Gemara is strange, the whole answer is strange, and he also just makes a few points about why it's so strange, and he makes the point that if it really is a case of Motza Ani Mari Mavis Asa'isha, then why is he standing on the Rechopah with her? I mean, the whole Chafetz Chaim is difficult to understand how it fits in the Gemara. Well, Gemara is hard to understand also. So some say a different pshat in the Gemara entirely. If you look in the Sefer Ikrei Dinim, printed in the back of the Chavetz Chaim, Rav Hominer, so he quotes from the Nesivos HaMishpat in the Sefer Emes Liakov, the Drushas, that he says, this is not what's going on over here. They're not questioning the Chasan. They're not saying, is it a good wife or a bad wife? That would be ridiculous, and it would be an Isser Lashon Hara. They're saying to him, they're posing a challenge to him. They're giving him Musar, Ve'etza, and they're saying to him, by a chasna, we assume the person's so happy, his lev is open, and he's willing to accept a musr, divrei chachma b'musr. So they're telling him, matza o motza, it's totally on you. We're learning the Gemara's here, ezer kenegdo, depending on your being zocha, depending on how you act, the isha is going to reflect that to you. So it's always going to be a parallel between how you act in ruchnius and also in the relationship to how your wife is going to act. So matza o motza, you're going to be a good husband or a bad husband to merit matza o motza, to merit whether it's going to be isha tov or a marmi mavis type of an isha. So it's a different musar. It's a challenge to him that he should live life in a certain way, that he shouldn't end up with a motza, he should end up with a matza. So by my chasn tish, I spoke about this. So I think I quoted those two mahalchim or some of it. Then I suggested the following pshat al derech, the second pshat, but a little bit of a different twist. If you look in the sefer Imre Noam, it's quotes from the Vilna Gaon, but it's quoted in the Panini Mishulchan Hagra, somewhere in sefer, I guess in Parshas Kitzetzei. So he quotes this Gemara, and apparently the Vilna Gaon said that. What is the pshat haka in matzah and motza? Not the minug and the gemara, just the psukim. So the Vilna Gaon explained beautifully. I heard this from Rav Tversky, actually there for the first time years before. The Vilna Gaon explains amazingly that human psychology is such that when we experience trials and tribulations, things that are challenging and difficult, so it's always with us, like it's always bothering us. It feels like it's ever present, that tzara. So even if something happened, 5 years ago, but I always talk about it as if it's still going on. Tzaras really get to us. They really hurt us. So when something is mar, something is bitter, we say, motza ani mar mi maves esa isha. I find this to be a very difficult situation. It may already have been years ago that this happened, but it's always there. It's always present. The person's always saying, Hashem did something bad to me, chas v'shalom, and it sticks with him in the present tense. When something good happens, we have a different hanaga. When something good happens, we say, yeah, back then something good happened. And then we tend to forget that every day Hashem is giving us a kindness, is bestowing a goodness upon us. So, motzani mari mavs as a isha. When it's bad, it's motza in the present tense, lashon hove. When it's good, we say matza isha, matza tov. When it's good, we say matza, I found back in the day something good. Okay, now I'm just living with that reality. It's like I don't appreciate anymore that's a goodness. But we should really be saying motzani, motza. Motza ani esa isha tov. I don't know, whatever, you figured out. But we should be talking in present tense, and it's a musr that the person has to realize about themselves that we're prone to talk about good things in the past tense and bad things in the present tense. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So the footnotes in the Panini Mishulch Magra quote, I couldn't access the full sefer of Imre Noam or the Agadah on Brachos, but the son of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Avram, said that he thinks that his father was explaining the psukim, which is l'chora correct. We don't have the words of the Vilna Gaon, but l'chora is correct that he's explaining the psukim, matza versus motza, meaning why in one case does it say matza, one case does it say motza? Motza, because matza is going on the bad, motza is going on the good, motza is going on the bad, because it reflects this human tendency. But I thought either you mean mamshech what the Gaon saying, or ba'emes the Gaon meant this whole time. I mean, his son didn't think he meant this, so maybe he didn't, but maybe he meant this whole time, that the Gaon's not only saying pshat in the psukim, he's saying pshat in the Gemara also. That by the chasna, when the chasna is standing there getting married, so the audience calls out to him, not a question of lashon hara, and not avak lashon hara. They're not trying to inquire whether she's a good wife or a bad wife. They're challenging him, like the Emes Yaakov said. They're challenging him. They're pushing him. They're giving him musar, but not what we said before that you should act in a way that it leads to having a good marriage. They're giving him a musar of matza o motza. Obviously, you're happy. Obviously, this is the best day. Obviously, you're excited about the matzah isha matzah tov aspect of your life. But are you going to live a life of matzah isha matzah tov? Or are you going to live a life of motza? Are you going to live a life where every day you recognize the tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon you? Or are you going to live a life where, yeah, I got married a few years ago. It was good for me and it worked out. And now I'm living my life regular. So the crowd is challenging matzah isha matzah tov or motza ani mar mav says isha, not inquiring which one is she. But we know it's good. We know you're happy. We know there's a shidduch that's going to be ola yafe. It's a good zivug. The shayla is, are you going to live a life of matzah or motza? So al derech, again, the nesivus, but a different twist with the Vilna Gaon, that maybe the challenge and the musar that they're giving the chasna, the day of his chasna, is to live a life where you appreciate the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he bestows on you every day, as opposed to only think of them as happening in the past, the way we tend to do, unfortunately, with things that are mar mi mavis. Okay, we'll stop here.